We're going to get into God's Word this morning?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, good. I'm glad. We're going to take that as the beginning and the end, the final word. That wasn't loud enough.
Amen!
There you go. That's the way it ought to be. You can tell who's fighting battles by how loud they say amen. If somebody's bored in their life and there's nothing going on, they'll be real quiet. But if they really are trying to win in Christ Jesus, they're going to get loud once in a while. You're never going to win a battle by being quiet. It's not going to happen. You're going to say something or you're going to lose. Do I need to say that again? If you don't say something and you don't say it loud and you don't say it long, you're going to lose.
That's right. You don't win battles by being quiet.
That's right. And you're not a parent by being quiet. You're not a boss by being quiet. You're not a husband by being quiet. You're not even a wife by being quiet. I want my dog quiet. Because that fool has nothing to say. I don't want its opinion. I don't care anything about an animal's opinion about anything. You hear me?
Amen.
But people count. They count Jesus.
Amen.
That's what God says.
Yes.
And I don't even care about your opinion, but God does.
Yep.
You know that? I don't wake up in the morning and say, "Wife, what's your opinion?" Because she would say, "What's wrong with you?" Praise the Lord. We're going to continue on. Take up your cross and follow me. Before we do that, let's pray. Lord, with all of our hearts, we yield to you. And we begin by saying we trust you and we love you. We trust you and we love you. We want to hear from you. We want to know from you. We want to feel from you. And we want to be assured by you today. That's what we're here for. We know there's a tomorrow coming. We know in that tomorrow we have a job to do. And we want directions today for tomorrow. We know you're faithful. If we're hungry, you'll feed. And if we're thirsty, you'll give us water. We are that this morning. So feel free to bless your word in us today. Sanctify it for your kingdom. And for that, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're pretty much family here this morning, so I think I'm going to talk a little more family than normal. I know you guys don't have the slightest idea what I mean by that, but I heard some of you say right then, "I hope he's not more frank." That's the main thing. There are people that aren't here this morning that should be. And for that, I want to speak to you just for a second. You have done nothing wrong. The devil would have you believe that if you would have just done this or you would have just done that, this or that would have happened. That's his biggest tool to defeat you. You know that? Now, if you're being a horse's patoot, he's right. But I don't know of any of you that are being that. Right? This church is in the hand of God. I don't care anything past that. The Bible says unless God builds the church, those that worry about it and fret about it, they build in vain.
That's right.
I've told you before, I know how to build a church. We can just do it the world's way. And then we can have those churches that y'all listen to once in a while and turn off and say, "What's wrong with those people?"
Yes.
Now, come on.
Yes.
If you listen to radio or television and you don't turn it off once in a while mad, there's something wrong with you. I'm not saying we're perfect, but we are in God's sight.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm not much interested in being perfect in anybody else's sight.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know what perfection in God's sight is? honest and upright.
Yes. Yes.
Honest and upright. You stand before God in the morning, you stand before Him in the evening, and you say, God, I did what I know to do. Now it's You. And if You don't like what I'm doing, tell me, and I'll sure change.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We as Christians need to learn to take this life that God gives us with an anticipation about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not a worry about today or yesterday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Repentance is not worrying about what's been done,
right,
but worrying about what God wants you to do now.
Amen.
That's what repentance is.
Yes.
How many ever screw up on the job? Now I've watched you. I could have said how many screw up, but then Karen would take the floor. But the healthiest thing in the world is acknowledging your screw ups.
That's right. Yeah.
But not living there.
That's right.
You know, I was out on a job site yesterday and I got so mad. Of course, it was already 100 degrees and I was sweating like crazy. And Connie was over there watching me and I stormed around. I didn't say nothing. I got real quiet. But I was stewing. I think she saw steam arising. I'm not sure. But how long was that I did that?
5 or 10 minutes.
Quiet, didn't say a thing. And I got back up on the ladder and she, what did you say to me? Yeah, have you cooled down now? That's what she said. Have you cooled down now? Yeah. Yeah. Now, what were you mad about? What difference does it make? What difference does it make what you're mad about? Mad never got anything done. It may motivate you a little bit, but in this case, it motivated me to cool down. You didn't know mad was a fan, did you? It was an air conditioner. Now, I get mad at me. And I get mad at you, and I get mad at the devil, and I get mad at the world. Is there anything I don't get mad about? Well, let me just say that. I get mad about everything. Me. So I'm a real cool cat if that's the case. If while I'm mad I can cool down, then I'm really cool. That's what I was trying to get to. You look at what you've done, you analyze what you've done, and you decide that it is well, or it's not so well, and I'm going to do better.
Amen.
And there is therefore now no condemnation.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's when the scripture applies. If you don't look at what you've done wrong, there will always be condemnation.
That's right.
Does that make sense to you? I'm telling you, if you don't say, I did it, you will walk in condemnation. Maybe it'd be better if I'd say this. If you don't say it's my responsibility, you'll walk in condemnation. Now, I don't know about Chuck. I know about me. If I don't know, guys, this is the key to life. If I don't know that the final responsibility is going to be on my shoulders, I will never get anything done. Why? Because ain't nobody else worried about me. In fact, a lot of times I can't figure out if anybody's worried about anything. Now, worry doesn't mean worry like fret and fear. It means saying it's my responsibility. You know what God is looking for desperately? His eyes are roaming to and fro, it says, across the face of the earth, looking for one thing. And that's for somebody that will say, I'll take the responsibility. That doesn't mean I'll take the blame. It means right. I will finish what needs to be finished. Now, did you hear me? That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for blame. He's looking for somebody will say, I will finish what needs to be finished. God, you got some work that needs to be done. I'll do it to the best of my ability, and I'll keep doing it until I get it finished. That's running the race, finishing the course. That's what the scriptural term for that is, running the race, finishing the course. Yeah, but you don't. Now look. Here's what we do. Here's the excuses we use. But I just can't get it right. I just can't please him, what? You know what you just did? You just copped out. You let the enemy tell you it's all right to quit. When did Jesus quit? When it was finished. When did God quit? When it was finished, because that's what he said, isn't it? God said it is finished and it is good. Jesus said it is finished, and we knew it was good. Right? But it killed him. That's exactly the answer. Don't matter. It don't matter. The world looked at Jesus and laughed because he went down in failure. Right? That's what they said. And he didn't care what they said. He said, I finished the course. I did exactly. God asked me to do this, and I did this. It took me 33 years to accomplish it, but I accomplished it. Do you understand Jesus was Jesus for 33 years? So it took him 33 years to get the job done. And he never once said, it's too hard. He never once looked at the Father and said, you ask too much. He never once looked at the Holy Spirit and said, I don't like the way you talk to me. I don't like the way you treated me. He didn't go to the Father and say, Father, I don't want to do what you want me to do because it's after hours. Or it's after, do you know what Peter did to me? He never dwelt on those things. He dwelt on finishing the race. The job. Finishing it. I wonder if you and I could have walked those 33 years and taken notes. Listen to me carefully now. I wonder how many mistakes we would have found in the life of Christ. And I'm going to say to you, a lot. Because we are lousy judges. We're terrible judges. You want to know how I know? I've seen you judge you. I know you're a lousy judge, but because I've seen you judge you. I've seen me judge me. I know I'm a lousy judge. I should never listen to you. I should never listen to me. I should only listen to what God says about me.
Right.
He's the one we're supposed to please, right?
Right.
Maybe we'll get to the message. Maybe we won't today. There are screw-ups in every person's life in this room. Right? Big ones. Ones we shouldn't be forgiven for. Right? That's if I ask you, and if you ask me, we'll have that kind of answer. Right? But we don't need to ask each other about that. There's a higher call. There's a higher person. There's a higher judge with a higher way. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways we can't even comprehend. And if we ask him, he says, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And if you ask him again, he says, why are we still talking about this? I've chosen not to talk about this. Now, for a number of years now, you and I have been walking together. Do you know that? I don't know if you knew that or not, but you have been.
Yeah.
And we've been doing good.
Yeah.
Say it to me. Say it to me. Okay.
Been doing good.
Say, I've been doing good.
Been doing good.
Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
I don't care who comes. And I don't care who goes. The one thing that I've established in my life, and I want you guys to get established in yours, that when you stand at judgment day, there will be no accuser. Your Bible says that.
That's right.
Not after he says his peace will there be no accuser.
That's right.
You know what that also means? It means you will not be allowed to accuse yourself. You'll not be allowed to. Whatever that is, that flesh part of you that belongs to the accuser. I didn't say the devil. I said that flesh part of you that belongs to the accuser will be silenced forever. You will not have a memory to accuse yourself of anything. Because all of your weaknesses are tied up in your flesh, not your spirit.
That's right.
And when your flesh is destroyed, there will be no weaknesses to accuse.
Right.
You'll not remember what you said to so-and-so. You'll not remember how you treated so-and-so or how they treated you. Because it's all flesh and it's gone. It's part of taking up your cross. It's part of the veil, the flesh being the veil. Will you ever get free of that totally on this earth? No. But you can overcome it. That's not the same as being, it's not there anymore. That's why it's important for you to know how to battle. What is our battles? What is our wars? Who are they? Where are they? What are they? Our warfare is what? Can you explain to me with what that scripture says with what I just told you? In what area? Our flesh is the door. Our flesh is the room he enters into so that he can accuse. Why? Because our flesh has a memory. Our flesh has a memory. We work at it. We cast it off. We don't pay attention to it. But it is always there. But the spirit realm does not have to have that. It has to have a memory of God's word, his promises, covenant, his constitution. That's where that memory lies. Now this church is going to grow. Or it's going to die. And I don't care. I care what the Word says.
Yes.
And the Word says what God starts, he's not going to just drop.
That's right.
So I lose my choice in whether the church is going to grow or not in that I know that God started it.
Right.
I know that that mighty thing that's been started in you through the study of the Word in this church is going to continue to grow.
Amen.
I know that. No matter what weapon, no matter it's formed against you, no matter what war you think you've already lost. See, our problem is we judge the wars with our eyes.
Yes.
We think there's delineations in wars because people do things. Don't ever give people the final word. Don't ever do that. I don't care what they've done. Don't give them the final word.
Amen.
Don't do that. It'll cause you to break.
Amen.
To what? To their word. We're supposed to be broken to God's word, not to somebody else's word.
Yeah.
What do I owe anyone?
Love.
What else? Nothing. If I ask you what the Bible says that you owe people, and the answer from the Bible is love, and I ask you what else, then the answer is nothing. Nothing. I can't die for you. I can't live for you. I can't provide for you. I can't trust for you. I cannot believe for you.
Right.
I owe you love. You know, a question that's always been in my heart, I've never been able to fully answer, and this sounds so stupid. I felt so little this morning when I finally figured this out. Was Jesus a Jew? He said, yes. You said, I don't know, yeah. He knows not to answer my questions. Because I got it figured out. Was Jesus a Jew? In man's eyes, he was a Jew, right? In man's eyes, he was a Jew. Why? Because of whose bloodline? Whose? Whose bloodline was Jesus of?
Same as Noah.
According to man, he was of the bloodline of Joseph. Why?
Because God said so.
No, because that's who Jesus called Daddy. Now, who was Jesus' father? So was he a Jew? How come it took me this long to figure this out? I've always said no, he wasn't a Jew. I've always said that was a gut feeling that I had. You might call it a spiritual gut feeling. No, he's not a Jew. Mama was a Jew. Daddy was a Jew. Why he's not a Jew? His daddy wasn't a Jew. You know what his daddy's name is? All of these names apply. But the Bible says God is love. I figured out this morning that's God's bloodline. It's love. God's bloodline is love. Now, if you want to start a Bible study, start there and see where you end up, your bloodline is. If God is love, God fathered Jesus, Jesus is not a Jew. I think Jews hate everything. Best I can tell, they hate everything. So he can't be his father. Love is what Jesus is of. And you are in and of Christ Jesus. Now, why are you saying that? That's a little kindergarten statement. Well, you need to study and tell me why. You see what accomplishes all things. If you study love in the Bible, you'll find out what accomplishes all things. Then don't listen to mankind in the definition of love. Because you must understand that if God was love and he was a father of Jesus, what killed Jesus? Nah. It was God's plan. It was God's will. You see how hard it is for us to say that God's will was for Jesus to die, therefore love killed Jesus? That just doesn't come out of us. We refuse to come out of that. Because we've seen on TV that that's not love. Love is kissing. Love is hugging. Love is talking. Let women get a hold of you. They'll tell you that for sure. Love is talking. When they really mean, if you love me, you'll listen to me. That's what they really mean. God's a father of love. They don't have the definition of love. Nobody has the definition of love except it's in the Word and it's through God.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, what kills you to your flesh is love. Because God is love, and he's the father of what's being birthed in you to kill you.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You know why God was birthed Jesus or in Jesus? So it could kill him. Why were you born again? So it could kill you.
Yes. Right.
Amen. That's love.
Amen.
So if I'm a parent and I love, my goal is to kill my children. What does that mean? That means keep them from being who they want to be and cause them to be who they need to be.
Yes.
And refuse anything else. Now, what can that cause? You have no idea. Just go and do and don't worry about the results. Just go and do and don't worry about the results. I am dead to Christ. You know what that means? Anybody know what that means? I am dead to Christ. It's exactly right. I've given up my life to him. It doesn't mean I don't know Jesus and I don't want to hear him. It means I walk in and I say, I die to you. I'm tired of you. Whatever training you want to put me through, whatever miserable friends you want me to hang around with, well, those lousy enemies that I don't like to hang around with, those crazy people, those smart people, those smarter than I people, whatever the devil puts in your ears, because this is all what the devil says to you. You see, it's worth it all in Christ Jesus. You know where you're going to be if you die to Christ? You're going to be right exactly where he wants you to be, doing exactly what he wants you to do. And nobody's presence or absence is going to change that fact. Nobody's love or the lack thereof is going to change that fact. I want to be loved by Jesus, not by people. It's not important who loves or hates me. I don't even care. You know who taught me that? The church. The world never taught me that. It was people in the church I had to learn to live with. People in the world, they're easy to live with. There was a bum walking down the street yesterday, and I heard Bob talking to somebody and this voice returning. And I'm already a bit irritated, not by what's going on, but it is hotter than a pistol. That makes me irritated when you're just, I can't keep my glasses clean for sweat. And out I come out the door, and there's a bum in the street. That's what it is. I don't know what he asked Bob. I got a feeling I know what he asked Bob. But he saw me come out the door, and he said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "I'm working. That means I'm good." Now, who did I say that to?
Bum.
What was his response? "Well, I'm not working."
Not bad.
Well, wait a minute. I just said I'm working, and that means I'm good.
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, I'm not working." What has he just said?
I'm bad.
I didn't need to say any more. You got some work for me? No. We're doing fine. He didn't want to work. He wanted a handout. Was that what he really wanted?
Yes.
I don't have a handout for anybody. I don't have a handout. Did you know Jesus doesn't have a handout? I wish that the church would teach something, that some truth once in a while. When Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, walked up, the first time, tapped you on the shoulder and said, "Would you like to be born again?" He says, "A handout." That's what you're saying. "This is free." That's what the church says. So you go for that, right? Then you find out it wasn't free. It cost you everything.
Right?
And in the whole time, you're not even worried about it. Being born again is worth everything. So I don't have handouts for people. Man, there's strings attached to everything I do. You need to remember that. There's strings attached to everything you do. If I minister, if I evangelize, whatever it is, there are strings attached. Why must I believe that? If I don't believe that, the devil will convince me that I'm wasting my time. That's why it's so important for you to believe in this law of seed time and harvest. That's strings attached. That means that if I minister, you know, sitting with Bill when he was believing for healing early on, and I'll say what I said at the funeral, he won.
Right, right.
He won. Don't ever let the devil say anything different. But he said to me after quoting scripture and after being a ball of fire, he looked at me and he said, "You don't think I ever listen, but I listen." You remember saying that to me, Bill? "You don't think I ever listen, but I listen." There's the strings attached. They're strings of faith. I don't believe that what I say or what you say falls on stone.
Amen.
The different things that the word fell on, not one time was it limestone.
That's right.
Granite. We got promises that cover us. We got promises with our children. We have promises with our friendships. We have promises in the workplace. Do you know that? The workplace is not where we earn money. It's where we spread the kingdom.
That's right. That's right.
There's obligations we have to fulfill in the workplace. But that's not why we're there. Praise the Lord. How many of you have witnessed to people in your lifestyle, in your words, in the spreading of your scripture, and had a feeling that it failed? Is the story over yet?
Oh, no.
Bill ministered to me that day when he said, "You don't think I've listened, but I listened." Now, I've been preaching in this place for a while, and he's been listening for a while. And if I always went by my eyes, I'd have given up on Bill. But he set me straight. Right? Because I don't judge on where it's success or not. God does that. The relations between him and God, not between him and me. We have ties, but they're not the same as those impacts we call relationships. A relationship is not that I shook hands with somebody. A relationship is that impact that changed you or changed me.
That's right.
That's a relationship. If it's bad, we treat it that way. If it's good, we treat it that way. Well, you'll have to explain that in your own life. I won't define that one.